So, how do you feel about victims, and how do you feel about heroes, and how do you feel about persecutors, and which role would you like to fill today? All right, because if we are not aware of the roles that we are filling, we're most likely going to be unconsciously fulfilling one or two or perhaps even three, whether we're aware of it or whether we're not. What I'm going to suggest, right, I'm going to take a really interesting quote here by a guy called Leo Tolstoy. All right, the start of all growth is the introduction of higher states of conscious awareness. All right, if you think about what growing up actually means for you, what does growing up mean? Does growing up just simply mean getting bigger? Getting your big boy's pants on, getting your big girl's pants on, something like this. Does it mean getting a sensible job? Does it mean buying a house? Does it mean paying all your bills on time? Does it mean all that? Or does it mean something else? Well, as we're all meaning-making machines, I guess we all get to decide, doesn't it? But I'm going to share with you an interesting idea right now that you might like, you might not like, but whether you like it or whether you don't like it isn't going to be because what I'm saying is bad. It's going to be a response to the meaning that you're assigning into what I'm about to say. I'm going to say that all growth is spiritual, right? Crazy idea. All growth is spiritual. All right. Now, let me unpack this little idea. In your hometown, in your home nation, how many guys do you know that spend days of the week down the gym, pumping iron, working out, pumping up the biceps, puffing up their pecs, building up their quads? How many guys, you know, walk around like that? All right, building up their muscles and their physical strength. All right. There's a near to where we live, there's a local gym. Now, I've got a membership there, I'm going to be honest with you, but I must be one of the laziest gym members going. Do you know why? Because, okay, no, I'm not going to say this anywhere else. This is a secret just between you and I. All right. See, when I go to the gym, I don't actually go to the gym. I just go and sit in the steam room and the sauna and chill out. All right. Then all the rest of the guys come in once they've finished their workouts. And they said, "Oh, you had a good workout today, pal." And I just say, "Oh, yeah, you know, I've just a really super hard workout today. But the secret is, I've just been sitting in the spa for 45 minutes, all right? I just go there to chill out and relax." All right? My days of building up my biceps are long gone. I gave that nonsense up in my late 20s. These days, I like to build up my character and build up my spirit instead. All right? Now, I'm using this word spirit. Not because I'm a super spiritual guy, not because I believe in angels. Angels are with us. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm just saying that I've never seen one, all right? So I can't vouch for them. I'm saying that all growth is spiritual because the process of maturation in life is about us growing up and out of the limiting beliefs that we develop about ourselves back when we are young. If you think about it, right, we're all brought into the world as little bambinos, kind of like as clean slates, aren't we? Right? We don't know how to do anything. We don't even know how to feed ourselves. We don't know how to change our nappies. We don't know how to speak. We don't know how to do anything. So, you know, we're pretty much, the second we're born, we enter into this lifetime of learning, and we'll have to learn. Now, there are different ways that we can approach learning. We can approach learning for the purpose of filling our heads full of academic information and theory and knowledge and all that kind of stuff, and then we can be Mr. and Mrs. Smarty Pants for the rest of our lives. Or we can simply look and get into education for the purpose of understanding that which we are learning so that we can grow as human beings. Guess what? Growing in knowledge isn't the same as growing in competence or growing in maturity. Maturity starts with the day we take responsibility for our lives. So I want to build upon this idea of the victim. Guess what a victim hasn't yet done? A victim hasn't yet taken responsibility for themselves. And some victims will say, yes, but this person done this thing to me. They said that thing to me. I was involved in this traumatic life event, but I genuinely am a victim." And how I would like to respond to that is, yes, granted, fact. We have absolutely no control over those things that happen to us. Some people might say and do some terrible things to us throughout the extent of our lifetimes, but guess who has the choice as to how it is that we respond. That's right, my friends, we do. Which means that we don't have to be victims. We can be victors all of the time if we so choose. But that's going to be determined by how mature we are. Maturity has got nothing to do with age. It's got nothing to do with how big our biceps are. It's got everything to do with our willingness to take responsibility for ourselves. So these are the 7 levels of conscious awareness that I would like to present you with. Unconsciousness, complete unawareness, are where people are operating out of this place of victim. The world's out to get me. The world's a scary place. And there's bad men over there. There's bad women over there. You know, poor me. I'm the victim. Daddy dropped me on my head. Mummy never gave me enough cuddles. My boss is a bad man. My teacher's nasty to me. The world's out to get me. Boo-hoo. Will someone come along and be my hero? And all that kind of thing. And if you think about the attitude that people have when they're operating from this place, it's generally one of apathy, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? What does it mean to be apathetic or apathic? Apathic? Apathetic? I don't know. Apathic is quite apathetic, isn't it? We're operating in this place of indifference in life, right, where we're completely consumed with how we're being treated, what we're getting, what we're not getting, and the centre of our lives is just simply ourselves. It's kind of like if there's a God out there in the universe, then we are it. We are he, we are she, we are whatever it is, all right? The way that we see things is the way that things actually are. People who are completely blind to this idea that we respond more to our perception of reality than what we do towards reality itself, all right? So growing and awareness is about us growing to identify that how we see things isn't always how things are. Granted, we might see ourselves as a victim, and it might be the case that someone has victimized us, but whether we choose to behave like a victim, well, that's our call, all right? The victim mindset is one of, I've lost, I'm defeated, I'm broken, I need fixed. I need someone to come along and heal me. And this is why, as I mentioned in that last video, much of the self-improvement industry is made up of mystics and healers and witch doctors and gurus and voodoo people and stuff like this. And granted, right, you can be the most mystical, magical healer in the whole world, but guess what? Magical, mystical healing don't do. Mystical, magical healing don't help people to take responsibility for themselves, all right? It just promotes this level of irresponsibility and dependency. You with me? I'm coming out with some quite controversial stuff today, haven't I? Oh my goodness, I hope that I'm not offending you too much. But if you are offended, guess who's responsible for that? Isn't me, is it? No, it's you and how you are interpreting what I'm saying. So here, let's move up a level here. Let's move away from being a victim. We don't want to be a victim anymore. Because it's completely disempowering, isn't it? Being a victim doesn't serve us, doesn't serve anyone else. You know, if I'm a victim today, well, I've lost, and you're certainly not going to win from me being a victim. So us growing in maturity is about us just simply identifying that the way that we're currently living our life isn't serving us. Me being a victim, I can go around and try to get as much sympathy from people as what I want to, but so what? When will enough sympathy be enough? When will enough people knowing my story be enough people knowing my story? All right, when we get sick and tired of ourselves, when our desire to change becomes greater than our desire to remain the same, we grow. And then we grow into a place of conflict. And conflict's a great word, all right? Think about children, all right? When children are young, all right? Have you ever known a young child to enter into that place of defiance? All right, where it doesn't matter if you say black, they're going to say white. It doesn't matter if they say stand up, they're going to sit down, even if they want to stand up. If you tell them anything, they are just going to enter into this place of conflict with you. Why? Because I'm guessing the one commonality that we all share is that we want to be standing alone, responsible for our own lives. I mean, when we are fully responsible for ourselves and owning ourselves, well, that's the day we're actually free human beings. I mean, I've known many people over the years to claim that they want freedom, they want financial freedom, they want to be pursuing their passions and their purpose and all this kind of stuff. But yet they complain as victims sitting in a dead-end job that they absolutely hate. Then I say, "So why are you remaining committed to this job?" And they say, "Because I have to. I have to pay the bills. I have to pay the really extortionate mortgage that I have. And I need my really big car in the driveway. And I need my 3 holidays a year, which means I've got to stay in the job that I have. I'm a victim because I can't pursue the things that I really want to pursue in life." And things will remain the same for people until they decide to change. And this is where conflict comes into play. All right, personally, I'll never really change much in my life. If I could give an example of my relationships here, I will know that something needs to change about one of my relationships or about something that I'm doing when I start getting angry with it or frustrated. Anger is a fantastic emotion. All right, why? Because it has energy attached to it. Some people beat themselves up for angry, for being angry. But angry kind of points us in the direction of what we perceive to be an injustice. And when we see or identify an injustice, well, guess what? This can give us a sense of purpose if we will, but choose to get off our back ends and do something about it. All right, this is where the defiance kicks in. All right, no, I'm not going to play your game, your way anymore. I'm going to play my game, my way, because I want more than being a victim. I want more than being tied down to you. I want to be free. I want to get my big boy pants on and get out in there in the world and start being a bit more of myself. All right, but this is the journey of growth. Everyone is at some stage of this journey. Once we move beyond conflict, we can stay in conflict for a while, but what I'm going to suggest is that remaining in conflict forever isn't a particularly effective way of winning friends and positively influencing people. When we're in this place of conflict, we're in a place where we're working things out, but we might not have the vocabulary to give voice to that which we are seeing and understanding within ourselves. So sometimes what we'll do when we're going through this place of conflict is we will reject people, we'll take our anger out on people, we're looking to deny and just change the old way of doing things until we then step into a heightened state of responsibility. When we step into this place of responsibility, it's not like the people who we were submitting to previously were bad. It's just that we didn't know any better back then. So sometimes, in order for us to really start moving forward in our own lives, we need to forgive the people for the grievances that they have influenced us experiencing at some point in the past. And we enter into more of a place of cooperation, working alongside people, working with people, partnering with people, rather than simply working for people and submitting to other people's so-called authority. All right? Then, when we enter in this place of responsibility, guess what? I start winning then. Now, it's not so much about you winning, but at least for the first time in my life, I'm winning because up until then, I was losing or you were losing. Does that make sense? All right, you might have to wrestle with this idea because you're going to be somewhere on this journey as well. Beyond us taking responsibility for ourselves, we will grow into naturally a place of concern. Now, if I was to share with you my own journey here, after leaving the military, I'd fallen into this place, this pit of despair. I'd fallen into that hole. I perceived myself as being the victim for many years, all right? The military didn't give me the support that I needed when I terminated my service. Society wasn't there to support me. Oh, woe is me. I'm the victim. I'm the disempowered, weak little man. Right, that's how I saw myself. It wasn't until I got into this place of conflict, I got angry with myself, got angry with the world, got angry with, right, society's not gonna sort me out, no one's gonna take responsibility for me here, I've gotta take responsibility for myself, damn it. All right? And this is the attitude that at some point we're all gonna have to embrace. From there, I then simply had to forgive the people that I'd previously had grievances with, because it wasn't their fault why my life had gone the way that it had gone. It was my fault. I was to blame. I'd simply taken responsibility for myself now. All right? But from here, I entered into a place of natural concern. All right? Concern because I'd now owned myself. I wasn't so much focused on what I can get and how people can fix me and heal me and give me anymore. I was actually just in a place of freedom, able to identify the world outside of me. And I became a bit more compassionate. What I was able to see was, my goodness, I'm actually not the only guy who struggled through this transition from military to civilian life. And that was actually when I first got into coaching, when I identified and obviously developed this concern. My goodness, you know, I've overcome some stuff. I've actually learned how to take a greater degree of responsibility for myself, and I can see all my fellow ex-military brothers and sisters out there, they're really struggling with this stuff. I'm just a few steps ahead, but I'm guessing this is what qualifies me to guide them through the process that me, myself, have already just been through, if that makes sense. Servitude. My focus then became all about them. You win. Now, my wife Karen will second this. For the first couple of years of our marriage, I stayed in this place of concern, right? I wanted to save the world. I wanted to change the world. I wanted to include absolutely everyone in my life. I wanted to coach everyone. I wanted everyone to know and understand what I'd come to know and understand about life, making sense of our life meaning, life purpose, direction, how to overcome issues and get out of the hole. And I thought that my life purpose was all about helping people get out of the hole. So I wanted to help the whole world get out of their hole. In fact, I even assumed that everyone was in a hole. So from here, I just included everyone. Ended up with so many people in my life. The demands that were being made of me just got a little bit unmanageable. There's an old saying, and this is it. This is like, life is kind of like a water fountain. If we have more people drinking from our fountain than what we have water going back into the fountain's going to eventually run dry. And in the same way, if we have more people taken from our life than what we have investing into our life, then our life is going to run dry. Well, guess whose life kept on running dry? That's right, mine did. I kept on going from burnout to burnout to burnout to burnout because I was coaching, I was helping, I was mentoring, I was giving off my time, giving off my resources. Yes, I'd learned the Chris lesson on a head level, but I hadn't so much learned the Chris lesson on a heart level. So guess how many more Chris's I brought into my life? That's right, loads. Why? Because they look different. And incidentally, the Chris's of the world, they might not necessarily just be the guys who you see standing on the street corners, drinking drugs and down and out. Sometimes people will find themselves in this hole whilst operating as a CEO for an international company, or whilst playing for a Premier League sports team, or whilst topping the charts with, you know, music albums and things like that. All right, the whole looks different for everyone. But as we've talked about the whole now, you should be more than aware of what the whole looks like for you. But either way, when a person is in this place of being in the whole, all right, they will most likely have a level or degree of the victim mindset. But from this place of concern, we really are now committed to the process of serving others, because we understand when we've kind of lost it all, once we've lost everything, and sometimes it takes people to reach the stage of life, we come to appreciate that there's not really much more that we can do with our life apart from give. When life becomes about more than just us, and about us not just getting anymore, our perspective changes. We start asking the question, how can I be more valuable? How can I start giving back? How can I make a difference in the world? What sort of legacy do I actually want to leave behind me here? So we start asking ourselves a lot more mature, or, you know, a lot more mature and really helpful questions. Reconciliation. Reconciliation is about us now stepping up once again, all right, into a more mature way of thinking and looking at life. We're now looking for something in our peace. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know if you can relate. When I first started coaching and mentoring many years ago, I was never really coaching or mentoring from a place of inner peace. Why? Because I needed to serve people. On some level, I actually needed to get results for people. I needed to be people's hero. All right? When I was working with people who were operating as victims, right, it ticked my boxes to be the hero. Why? Because for many years I really struggled with low confidence and low self-esteem in my life. So for me, it really ticked my boxes when people were saying, wow, Kane, you are being so helpful and so valuable and so useful in my life. It's kind of like you're my hero. Well, they wouldn't really say that, but they would say words along those lines, and I would love it. Why? Because it ticked all my low self-esteem boxes, right? I'm just being honest with you. But that was the level of maturity that I was at the time. Reconciliation was, okay, today, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to work on any projects. I don't want to work with any people. I don't want to say yes to anything unless I am coming from and operating out of this place of inner peace. If I sense that I'm needing something from someone, if I'm needing something from a project, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to look to identify what it is that I actually think or assume that I need, because that's going to be a perceived deficit in my life, which means that I'm not going to be operating from a place of wholeness and fullness, if that makes sense. This only really happens when we reach this place of acceptance. On one level, unconditionally accepting other people for their imperfections, for their flaws, for their little selfish habits, for their bad attitudes, as we also make peace and accept ourselves, our own imperfections, our own flaws, our own failings, our own failures. Why? Because many people go through life needing to get it right, needing to be perfect and all that kind of stuff. But when we can just simply make peace with ourselves and accept the fact that we are flawed and imperfect people, rather than trying to get it right or trying to, you know, be perfect or be our best or anything else, it leaves us free just to simply enjoy the process and do our best, if that makes sense. And when we reach this place, we're entering our relationships, be this intimate relationships, social relationships, professional relationships, working relationships, not from a place of need, but from this place of unconditional acceptance and tolerance, which means that everyone can win. I can win, but you can also win. And this is a great place to be operating as a coach from this place of reconciliation. When you're working from a place of inner peace, you're not going to be stringing your clients along just for the purpose of getting more money or anything like this. You're going to be here just simply guiding them into the same level of inner peace that you yourself are at. Regardless of what their circumstances or life situations are, you know that it is possible to find peace, whether we have much or whether we have little. Now, you might be thinking these are some big ideas right now. You might be thinking that, well, my goodness, how do I get to this place? My friend, I shall guide you there throughout the next few sections of the course, all right? Remember, all we're really doing here is we're building a house. We've got the foundations down now. Now we're building up layer upon layer upon layer, right? This is a journey, all right? It's a journey that we're on. Synthesis, all right? So we're now growing in conscious awareness. We're growing in maturity. And this is where we actually start living our lives from this place of inner joy. Now, I'm not being weird and wacky and wonderful here, but what I'm saying is, generally, around about probably 70 to 80% of the time, I absolutely love life. Don't get me wrong, I don't always love challenges. I don't always love crisis. I certainly don't love being on the receiving end of other people's nonsense and judgments and assumptions and all the stuff that people bring into our lives. But most of the time, I'm generally operating from a place of joy and peace. I love life. I want to make the most of it. Now, I had this experience last year where I was actually given the all clear from having breast cancer, all right? So as you can possibly imagine, I went through a season of life where I didn't know whether I was going to live to see another year or not, all right? And this brought a level of concern into my life. And when this concern came into my life, I had an option as to how I was going to respond. I'm going to live the rest of my life worrying about whether I'm going to die or not, or I'm going to live the rest of my life actually enjoying the process. Right, this was pretty much what elevated me to a whole new level of life, inner joy, and it gives us wisdom. It does. It gives us perspective. What are we actually here to achieve? What is our purpose? What are we actually looking to accomplish here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Why are we saying yes to the things that we're saying yes to? Why are we saying no to the things that we're saying no to? For what purpose? What do we actually want to achieve here? It helps us live life with absolute clarity. And when we're operating on this place as well, it becomes so, so easy to discern where other people are at. It makes it easy to say yes to people, no to people. What we're not going to want when we're operating on this level is to be surrounded by people who are just going to take from us. What we're looking for here is a level of oneness to foster a culture of relationships in our life and people that are going to complement our lives and whose lives we can complement. Alright, it's not about hierarchy, it's not about I'm up here, down there. We're very, very far removed away from victims and heroes and perpetrators, alright? That was kind of like yesteryear, that was so yesterday, wasn't it? Right, we get to this place, there's only, you know, one more level that we're then able to reach. And I'm still in the process of getting there. I'm not going to say that I'm fully there yet, because I'm not. But it's absolute passion. It's about living from a place of absolute passion all of the time. Now, you might get snippets of this when I'm teaching courses like this, or if you've ever watched me do a Facebook Live. I don't always communicate perfectly. Granted, sometimes I will put my foot in my mouth and say things like that. If you've ever watched a Facebook Live, you'll know what I'm talking about. But what I am doing, I'm always operating from a place of absolute passion, doing my very, very best to communicate that which I see for the purpose of making a difference, for the purpose of leaving some sort of meaningful legacy behind. All right? Can you say that you're doing the same? If not, well, I'm guessing this is going to give you a vision and a direction for the years to follow. Am I right? When we get to this place, all that's left for us to do is create. We don't want to be dealing with people problems. We don't want to be managing money and dealing with issues all the time. We just want to spend the rest of our life creating with intentionality. Why? Because it's only that which we go on to create that we ultimately get remembered for. Are you with me? We're going to be remembered on two different levels. We'll be remembered by those who know us intimately for being who we actually are, if we're actually willing to show them, and we'll also be remembered for that which we leave behind. We're talking about living for the purpose of legacy on this level. Most of these levels down here, if you compare that to the bottom, here we're just living for self. We're living for a quick fix. We're living to feel happy. We're living to feel nice about ourselves, which is all quite meaningless. But if we just revisit that idea that I shared at the start of the section of the course, what is the meaning of life? Well, I'm guessing when we're living from a place of absolute passion, we're creating things that we love creating all day, every day for the purpose of making a difference and leaving something meaningful behind with intentionality. Well, how much more of a meaningful way could there be to live life? And what I'm hoping I've just shown you throughout this video is the process of growth that all people seriously want to be going through in life. If we are not growing, we're consequently dying. So many of our clients who come to us for coaching, they are going to be somewhere on this journey. And remember, as a life coach, all you ever need to be is one or two steps ahead. And these seven steps, these seven levels, are the kind of steps that I'm referring to. Are you catching what I'm cooking? Listen, I could give you some workbooks, but what's the point? All right, all I'm really going to invite you to do is you might have to go back and rewatch this video. All right, it's taken me years to really understand this stuff on the level that I now understand it. All right, so you might be nodding your head and saying, yes, that all makes sense. But just because it makes sense doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to understand it at this stage. I'm going to implore you and encourage you to go back and watch this video again. Maybe not right away, but at least in the next week or so, right, to really get your head around these seven levels of human consciousness and self-awareness. This is the direction that you ultimately want to be guiding your life coaching clients moving forward. So I hope you found this video insightful, useful, interesting, and I'll look forward to seeing you again in the next.